Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to you all. I'm Randy Dean. I am the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe lesser values than love devolve into the cesspool, the rabbit hole of BS. And for the sake of what I'm talking about, and have been here for 6 years talking about, BS is bait and switch. In some expressions of the American church, baiting and switching is a scientific form. It's a way of getting people in the door by saying one thing, but then we, with that bait, we switch over to threatening them with hell and condemnation and shame and pain. That's bait and switch, folks. Love is the only credible answer to the condition of the human nature. And I'm going to talk to you about that. Love is the only credible answer to the condition of the human nature. So tune in. I'm going to ask you to put on your thinking cap today, all right? But before we get to love is the only credible answer to the human condition, I want to lead you in Love's Creed. It's a little something I've written, and I'm very, very proud of it. I love what it does for me, and I'm offering it to you that it can do something for you to change you on the inside. And then after Love's Creed, I want to lead you in the most prayed prayer in human history, the Lord's Prayer, okay? But first, Love's Creed. Let me read it in total, then we'll go back, and I'll offer it to you in short bursts so you can repeat after me. Here it is. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Yes, yes, yes. So, let me go back and I'll ask you to repeat after me. Are you ready? Just kind of settle in. And if you'd like a copy of this, you can email me at randydeanministries@gmail. Be happy to send you a copy. So you can have this at your reach and somewhere you can keep it handy to remind yourself why you're alive. All right? Here we go. Repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. So pertinent to my subject for today that love is the only credible answer for the human condition. Love is the only credible answer for the condition of humanity. So remember that. But before we get there, I want to help settle my own soul and mind and keep me focused. And I'm going to invite you to join me in this most prayed prayer in all of human history. I haven't said this in a while, but I pray with my eyes open because it helps me be focused. I would invite you to try it. It's not easy to do because we've all been conditioned to throw our head down, our chin on our chest, and our eyes closed. I think we need to learn some other postures in prayer. I'm not against the closing your eyes and bowing your head, but I'm saying we've been so conditioned to it, we don't even think about what we're doing. I'm inviting you to think about what you're doing, and that's going to be the subject of today. Think about what you're doing, what's happening inside. So I pray with my eyes open, and I lift my head. At least twice in the Gospels, Jesus lifted his eyes to heaven, and he prayed. So now join me, would you please, in the most prayed prayer in human history, in the words that Jesus taught us to pray when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Oh my, while I'm praying that and thinking about my subject for today, love is the only credible answer for the human condition, I hear in those words, in the prayer of Jesus, the filter, the microscope of all the inner workings of Randy's heart and potentially your heart if you'll allow it. So we're going to talk about that today, and I'm just going to leap right into it. I've got so much to share that I want to make sure I get it all in here today. I'm on the middle of the news cycle here in western Wisconsin and the Twin Cities area in Minnesota. June 16th is while I'm recording this. And we're all in a deep state of shock, sorrow, and a variety of other hopefully introspections at the political assassinations of some folks in the Minnesota State House. There are two that have died and two that are fighting for their lives. The alleged perpetrator has been arrested. There's a lot of evidence to state the case that this person was deeply religiously motivated. And that's why today's topic for me is so profound, that love is the only credible answer to the condition of the human existence. Love. Love is my religion, ladies and gentlemen. Love is what I want cooking in the kitchen of my soul. Love is what I want to make sure I'm holding whenever I'm viewing all things political, when I'm viewing all things church and churchianity in America. Love is what I want to keep stewing and boiling and cooking inside of me. Otherwise, there are other things that will get in there and they will stew and cook and boil, and they will end up in some of the worst crimes you can imagine. And I think what we just saw in this political assassinations in Minnesota has to do with what was cooking in somebody's soul. And it appears, allegedly, that the soul who has committed these crimes was a person of some faith, of some degree of, in fact, the faith that this person, alleged person, has cooking in them has something to do with some of the spiritual family that I've been associated with over the years. I've been at ministry for 50 years and deep in my history, but now the vaults of my history, I have similar connections. And I understand what those connections do, it seems almost innocently, to stir up, well, they don't call it hatred, but they call it a variety of other very staunch Bible verse, Bible versing people literally to death. They would have us believe that there is a time for vengeance. There is a time for hatred. There is a time to exact justice by human means. And I'm here to suggest that is patently evil. All right? Here I am. I'm the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. And it's important to call some things that are anti-love as patently evil. Now, I take for my North Star the words of Jesus. You know, Jesus is the Word. The Bible is a reflection of the Word, and the Bible is a result of Jesus being the Word. But while I've read the Bible more times than I can count, I have Bibles that are older than many people that I've been in discussions with about Bible verses. I love the Bible. The Bible is a treasure to me, but I want you to understand that where I live and breathe and eat and sleep, I see Jesus as the final and full expression of the Word. John chapter 1, the magnificent, oh my goodness, John chapter 1 is a Grand Canyon vista of, in the beginning was the Word. Now, I'm adding that to say, in the beginning, there was not a book. There was the God in flesh, Christ the Son. In the beginning was the Word. So the Word is Christ. So when I take Bible verses and I hold them dear, I want to make sure it looks, sounds, smells, tastes like Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 5, at the Sermon on the Mount, my. He says, I don't want you to presume that I'm here to abolish the law or prophets. No. I didn't come to abolish, but to fulfill. He said, don't nullify these commandments. I'm in chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 17. He said, but it's all going to be accomplished. But whoever would nullify these commandments and teaches others to do the same would be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And then he says something astonishing. I want your righteousness to be that surpasses scribes and Pharisees. And if it doesn't surpass it, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, scribes and Pharisees were pretty, I mean, these folks were Bible verses down pat. In fact, they were so Bible versed up to their eyeballs that when they caught the woman in the act of adultery, they brought stones to their Bible study so they could stone her because they had a Bible verse to stone her to death. Now, so Jesus arrives in the scene, and in Matthew 5, he says, verse 21, you have heard that the ancients, you've heard of old, you were told, don't murder. Now, so I'm talking today about what causes a religious soul to think about murdering, political assassination as doing the work of God. He says, you were told of old, don't murder, and whoever commits murder will be answerable. But I'm telling you, everybody who's angry with his brother shall be answerable to the court. Now, whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing fool, you're going to be answerable to the divine Supreme Court. Whoever says you fool shall be guilty of enough to go to the fiery hell. Woo, Jesus gets tough there, doesn't he? Therefore, if you're presenting your offering at the altar and you remember your brother's got something against you, leave your offering. Stop singing in church. Stop going to Bible studies and go be reconciled. And then come back and sing in church. Bring your offering. Get to good terms with your accusers quickly. Why quickly? Well, because here's where I'm at. Love is the only credible answer for the condition of the human heart. And so if we don't answer and get response and reconciliation quickly, that monster boils in the kitchen of our soul. Verse 27 of Matthew 5, you've heard of old that you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has committed adultery. Now, what is Jesus saying? Is he making this so outrageously beyond our experience? No, he's identifying the condition of the human heart. My heart is the condition he's after. He wants love in there, not law. All right, now let me read on. And then he said, don't make false vows. Verse 33, verse 38, he said, you heard of it old. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, don't show opposition against an evil person. If they slap you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek. He said, you've heard of old that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I'm telling you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. But earlier in that verse, he talks about when you call somebody a fool, you're guilty. You're just as guilty as if you had murdered someone. Now, so that's Matthew 5. I've kind of meandered all through Matthew 5 and the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm going to invite you to read it for your own edification. So when you have somebody who rises to the idea that the Bible gives them permission to commit political assassinations because the people I'm assassinating, after all, they're violating the Bible. So they deserve get that point. They deserve to be punished. Jesus says, when you're in your heart cooking up a stew of hatred, well, you've begun the process of murder. Now, that's where I just want to pause a minute. When you cook up a stew of hatred in your heart, you've begun the process of murder. Now, is Jesus trying to keep us from being able to keep the commandments? No, 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 no. He says, don't even think like that. He said, I came that they might be fulfilled. And how can they be fulfilled? Well, I'll tell you, they can be fulfilled by one law. Love. Love your neighbor as yourself, and love your enemy. That's the fulfillment of all the law and the prophets, Jesus said. Now, for the purposes of what I'm telling you here is that the longer we allow as people of faith or people of church discipline and discipleship, as long as we allow the hardships of our judgments against people we disagree with to cook in our soul, and we hate their behaviors, we hate the people groups they belong to, it's time for us to recognize that in the kitchen of our soul, we're cooking up the stew of murder. It doesn't surprise me. It pains me. Grossly breaks my heart when somebody who's had a Bible in their hands and a sermon to preach somewhere, and I don't care where the sermon was preached or what version of the Bible they were using, when they are preaching against people and their political positions and their lifestyles, and they've got hatred in their heart, I'm telling you, they're standing up preaching murder. And that is exactly what I want to call it. It isn't love. The loveless heart is so cold that it will pull up a Bible verse and justify pain, misery, unforgiveness. It'll justify a culture war. It'll justify taking up the sword and making things right for God. For God and country I rise. Well, you can leave me out of that, because I don't put the words God and country together in my mind. For God and God alone in Christ. What I see in the life of Christ is what I will live for, no matter where I live, what country I'm a citizen of, whatever, I don't know, whatever pledge of allegiance I may make. I'm here to tell you that love alone is the only answer for the condition of the human soul. So that when we've got right and wrong all drawn up, and we have some kind of statement of our purposes, and we're going to go out and we're going to make things right in the world by whatever means we need, whatever means necessary. Well, we've fallen into the trap of Judas and Peter. I put those two together because Judas betrayed Christ for one reason and Peter betrayed Christ for another. But they were both betrayers, and their betrayal led to bloodshed. Betrayal of the heart. For in Judas, at the Last Supper, it says that Satan filled his heart. And I would say that this way. It wasn't so much a demon spirit. It wasn't so much a pitchfork and horned monster. It was the Satan, the accuser of the brethren, the one who likes to accuse and prosecute, filled his heart. And he went out and betrayed Christ for money. Peter, on the other hand, declared so many times, I will not betray you. And sure enough, he betrayed Christ in the last moment. Skin for skin, all will a man give for his life. And Peter was given the skin of protecting himself and betraying Christ around that bonfire while Christ was being tried. And Peter recognized the deep wound of his own heart. And to me, Peter and Judas have similar betrayals. Not so much just of Christ, but they betrayed their own hearts. Now listen carefully. I'm the no BS bishop. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. There is nothing in me that will allow less than love to cook for very long inside of me. Oh, yeah, it sneaks in there. But when love has become the law by which I live, I know something's burning in the kitchen real quick. And I get the fire extinguisher of the Holy Spirit and the beauty of love to get in there quickly, put that fire out, because hatred and rejection and betrayal of Jesus happens so quickly. I am deeply concerned in the beloved nation, the United States of America, that Christianity has allowed for a culture war, and we call it that, and it's deeply disturbing. And in that culture war, we've made very little delineation between doing the right thing the right way, which is the only right way is love, or doing the right way by whatever means necessary. And once hatred is in there, that's what I said earlier, once hatred, betrayal, even to the point of diminishing another human being internally because I disagree with their politics, well, murder is at the door because it's inside me. I got to tell a quick story, and then I'm going to bring this to a close for today. I grew up with a brother whose mental health issues were severe, and his drug and alcohol addictions were equally severe. For my entire life, from the earliest memories I have of him when I was just 4 years old, I knew something was wrong with my brother Rick. And all through his life, he betrayed my mother, my father. He betrayed spouses after significant others over and over again, even down to betraying his own offspring, his own children, and ultimately a grandson who he never met. All because his addictions and his drug and alcohol addictions and his mental health issues were left untreated. He finally reached a point in his life where, through drugs, he intentionally died by suicide just 8 years ago. Now, that's the backstory. Let me tell you my side of that story, because about 8.5 years ago, I had a terrible dream where my brother was threatening suicide. Now, mind you, this is before he died by suicide. We were on a rooftop somewhere, and he was in one of his mental health breakdowns, another one of his addictive miseries. The injuries of his mind and soul and body were all over him, and I saw it in my dream. Now, remember, this is a dream. And in my dream, he was threatening to jump off that building, and I was so tired of a lifetime of watching him self-destruct and how he had brutally treated our mother and father, and how he had brutally treated a stepfather, and how he had just betrayed 5 spouses in his life and his own children. And I was in my dream, I was so sick and weary. As he stood at the edge of this building in my dream, threatening suicide, I reached out and I said, "Stop threatening. Get it over with." And I pushed him. In my dream, I pushed him off. I hope you can imagine, I woke up with a shock. It woke me out of a deep sleep in that middle of that dream, and I went into tears immediately, because I instantly recognized what awful thing was lurking inside of me. That betrayal of my love for God and my brother was in a dream. And you can say, "Oh, it was just a dream." But no, for me, it was in my heart. Jesus said, when you've said, "Oh, you fool, you worthless one," he said, "you'll be equally just, equally brought before justice as those who commit murder. If you lust for a woman in your heart," he said, you've committed adultery. So I don't take lightly what cooks in my heart. And so I confessed my dream to somebody that I needed to, and they prayed with me, and the deep forgiveness was quick, and my heart was relieved. And then shortly after that, many weeks later, I got the sad and dark news of his death by overdose and suicide. I'm going to tell you that I am so glad that I cleaned my heart prior to that event. My dream revealed my heart, and I needed my heart to be clean. I'm asking you to join me, Join me in the pursuit of love as the only answer to the human condition. Otherwise, we are all susceptible to the most basic wounds of the human condition. The alleged assassin of these political figures in Minnesota was a Bible preacher. If it is that person, and it continues to be proven that he committed this awful act, he preached the Bible. But he did not condition his heart to love. And Paul made it clear in 1 Corinthians 13, you can do a lot of things about the Bible and your obedience, but if you have not love, it is nothing. So I'm asking you to join me in letting love completely own your inner world. And when you do, I promise you, you're on an uphill climb. I promise you, you're doing some heavy lifting. I promise you, you're on a marathon run. But I want to also promise you, meekness and beauty and humility and kindness will start to erupt from you rather than pain and murder. Okay, well, I've got to bring this to a close. I've taken you down a dark, dark, difficult path, but I also hope I've taken you to the light of love. Join me in taking a deep breath now, would you please? On the count of three, breathe as deep as you know how and hold it there for just a moment. One, two, three. Inhale. And exhale. Inhale the love of God. Exhale all the darkness of hatred. And let your inner world be governed by the law of love. I want you to understand that when you get that inner world conditioned to that means, then you're going to look for ways to say the three most magical, charmed, and beautiful words in the human language. And those three words are, I love you. It's startling. It's weird. It's awkward. And why? Because we are more often conditioned to debating and challenging and putting people down. Our hearts aren't as conditioned to love as they could otherwise be. And I'm telling you, love. And in fact, Martin Luther King Jr. said, love may very well be the salvation of our civilization. We have before us this glorious opportunity to inject a new dimension of love into the veins of civilization. This is what Martin Luther King Jr. said. And I'm saying to you, whatever you put into the oven of your heart, make sure it is the sweetness of the bread of life, the bread of love. Well, Mother Teresa said, go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. Someone, I don't know who quoted this, but I'm drawing on it to say to you, be aware of your life. The biggest mistake we make is thinking we still have time. Be present. Be kind. Love more. Love now. And here's the poignant close that I bring you every time I am here for the podcast and the radio broadcast of the No BS Bishop. I want you to go out there and do something beautiful. Why? Well, because ugly is literally getting done to death. Love alone is the one credible power of changing the human condition. Jesus made it crystal clear that this is how you will be known as my students, my disciples, if you have love for one another, to love one another as I have loved you. So Randy's telling you, get beauty on your mind, get love on the inside, and go out there and do something beautiful, because otherwise ugly's going to get done to death. Let's be the people of love. Let's be the people of beauty, so that in the light of that, the world can see a new path, a new way through this treacherous, treacherous day in which we live. I love you. Now go out and be the blessing of God to our world. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.